For more details, go to birdnote.org.
You can find our complete schedule and more at kpft.org and like us at facebook.com/kpfthouston. You're tuned in to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston, and kpft.org worldwide.
Good afternoon, 90.1 KPFT, your radio for peace, listener-sponsored radio. We are so thankful that you have joined us today. This is Ecology, and my name is Pat Greer.
And I'm H.C. Clark.
And we are so fortunate to have with us in the studio today two absolutely delightful young men and so already worldly. They are just in our midst, and we're going to be talking about solar today. Simplify Solar is the name of the organization that they're with, and we have Vic and we have Shin. Vic Vasum and Shin G are going to be with us today, and we are going to talk about alternative energy.
That's it.
That's it. That's what we're going to do.
On a day like this, you're out there looking at your electric bill, and you want to change. Inspirational.
This is inspirational. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank
we feel very fortunate.
Pleasure.
So, your radio station, KPFT, kpft.org, is the place to go to find out what is going on in our Houston town that you can be involved in. You know, there's all kinds of great volunteer opportunities. We do have our summer sizzle coming up next week, and we need volunteers. A fun way to come and find out about your radio station, all the inner workings and the fun that we have right here at the station. You can find out more by going to our website, kpft.org. You can also contact Lydia at 713-526-4000, extension 314. And if you call, our sweet Tony will answer the phone and he will direct you. You can email Lydia also, lydia@kpft.org. So that is coming up next week, and we already have someone to thank. We have someone to thank in advance. Lawrence, who was here last week, Lawrence Spence and his delightful son. Lawrence made a very generous donation, and we are so appreciative of that just initial hit. We're buying a transmitter here, and, you know, it helps.
I think Lawrence just bought the transmitter.
It's true. It could be. It could be.
And we have a lot of things we need. We need a generator. We need a mm-hmm. transmitter. We need to keep the station going.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And when you were talking about volunteering, you can also volunteer, bring in your donation. If that bag of money is too heavy to send in the U.S. mail, you can truck on over here mm-hmm. and take a look at this station, see what we're doing, see what's going on.
Yeah.
And this show is about local things. And we try to make it that way every week, and in that way, make KPFT a part of the community. Things you don't hear in depth in other ways.
And it's I love just absolutely everyone we have on because they represent such a broad stroke of what our Houston is. I think that we live in incredible times and have a remarkable resource with the people that are here in Houston.
And we've got a 105, 107 degree index that Shannon's going to be telling us about in a mm-hmm. minute. And so instead of being miserable, think solar.
Think solar.
There we go.
That's what we're
going to
be thinking about today.
Because we got solar.
We do.
What a segue.
So some of the great things happening in our Houston, we have farmers markets all around town. Our farmers market is happening today, and that's at Rice University. That is on Greenbrier and in between University and Rice Boulevard, the west side of the stadium. Yes, it's hot. Yes, the asphalt's hot. Get in, get out. Do not take your dogs over there. Please do not take your dog over there. If you would like to walk on the asphalt without shoes on, then go for it. Your dog can't do it.
Yeah, but don't go for it.
Yeah, well, that's a whole different conversation. So Central City Co-op is happening tomorrow, and that is at Missouri and Wah here in the Melodious Montrose. You can find out more by going to centralcityco-op.org. The farmer's market is closed at City Hall until September. We'll be talking about that soon. We're going to have Tyler on the show talk to us about what's happening at Urban Harvest and with our markets. And other fun things happening this weekend in Freeport, there is the Sunset Sip. It's Saturday, August the 1st. It's from 4 to 10 p.m., and it's in the downtown Freeport district. And it's very historic. There's a lot that's happened there in Freeport over the years. Great surf town, and there's so much more. So there's going to be music, there's art, there's a little farmer's market. They're going to have local wines and beers and, like I said, live entertainment. So that's a fun thing. If you haven't visited Freeport, it could be a fun afternoon.
And if you can't make it this weekend, go sometime this fall. Freeport's the other town you can go to right out of Houston to get down on the coast.
It is. Fun little town. HC, what you got?
Okay. Tomorrow, for all of you with a pre-K child, or many of them, for pre-K and parents, Gator Tales at the Wetland Center on Market Street in Baytown, and that goes from 10 to 11 in the morning. So that's just an example of all the fun things you can do with young kids around this town this time of year. And summer's still going on. You've got to have something to keep them cool inside. At the same place, in the afternoon, beginning at 5:30, Cedar Bayou Watershed Partnership gets together, and they talk about issues affecting the Cedar Bayou, which is the limit of the east side of Harris County. So that's one side of the deal. At 4 o'clock at the Nature Discovery Center, there's story time. Then on Thursday, Innovations in the Woods. And that is a get-together at Lone Star College at 5:30 in the evening. And innovators are going to be talking about what they're up to. And so I'll bet you our guest today might be up there. At 6 o'clock at the Upper Kirby District Meeting Room, there is a kind of a pre-show about an upcoming conference where two of the speakers will be speaking about what can we do by 2022. Kind of a catchy little phrase. Mm-hmm. And so that's at 6 o'clock, Upper Kirby, on Thursday. That night, Thursday night, at the Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion, the Houston Symphony with the singer, Michael Cavanaugh, will be playing tunes from Elton John, James Taylor, and Billy Joel. So that'll be rocking up in the north side of the county later on in the week. On Friday, at 5:30 from 2 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Bill Swan, who was a guest on the show a while back, will be giving his do-it-yourself solar panel course on behalf of the Houston Renewable Energy Group. And you can go to that website to find out more about the class. It's free. It's from 2 to 4, and it's at TXRX, and that's over on Robert Street. Okay, so that's on Friday, and then Saturday at 9:30 in the morning at the Mary C. Prairie, there will be a work day, and that's about the big thicket.
Where is the Mary C. Prairie?
I have no idea, but I think it's in the big thicket.
In the big thicket, I guess if it's a big thicket day, they'll be
on the east side. Sierra Club is putting that on, so you can go to their webpage.
Oh, Sierra Club's got just the best stuff to go do.
And I threw that in there because I don't know where Mary C. Prairie is.
And I had to ask.
You had to ask. I was sounding so professional. And what you missed this week, folks, was National Tequila Day, National Cheesecake Day, and National Lasagna Days.
Well, I don't know what to say about that.
I do. I'm glad you missed them. What a silly thing to be worried about. Can you imagine our president taking time out to declare these national days? Well, I think tomorrow will be a national lasagna day.
Do you think the president actually has something to do with that?
Who thinks it up?
People.
Did you guys think that up?
Is there a national solar day?
There is.
There is.
There is now.
There is now, exactly. Yeah.
I think that's wonderful. You were mentioning... I'm sorry, are you finished?
No, I'm finished.
I'm just making sure.
Pretty well wrecked it.
Okay. Just, you were mentioning great things to do with kids, and I want to remind everybody about Blue Hair and the Ghost, who we will have on the show soon. They have got some of the most fun books that we can read with children that they review on their website. It's bluehairandtheghost.com. There's a blog post about it, and they have fun things that you can do with kids. Like the other day, the girls were talking about how to go out on the sidewalk and paint on the sidewalk with something that will just evaporate. I mean, paint with water or, you know, some chalk and water. It was just fun, simple things.
Fun things to do with kids.
Yeah.
What do you remember growing up? As a little kid,
one of my very fondest memories was playing in the hose.
There you go.
It was just great. We'd wait till the afternoon, and my neighbor and I would come out, and there was this little shaded spot in the front of the house, and we could turn the hose on for, I think, you know, 20 minutes or something, and we just had the biggest time.
That was it.
But I remember then my mother being concerned about water conservation, and 20 minutes was our limit.
20 minutes was the game.
We couldn't do it every day, but we could, you know, like 2 or 3 days a week. So that was fun. So thank you for that sweet memory.
No National Lasagna Day when you were a kid.
I don't think there was. No, there wasn't. So once again, thank you so much for joining us today. Ecology is dedicated to all of our local heroes, and we're so thankful that we have two of them right here today. Simplify Solar is an organization that helps people know about one of our alternative resources. Vic is an energy consultant specializing in distributed solar PV integration, which he will explain very shortly. He started off in residential solar sales and design and expanded into business development and project management, directly responsible for new markets, expansion strategies, and sales and operations process improvement. His formal educational background is in engineering and entrepreneurship from the University of Illinois at Urbana in Champaign.
Yep.
How very fun is that? And Shen has several years of experience in marketing through writing press releases for several organizations, blogging personally and for startups, organizing aerospace conferences, and conducting sales for a web design company. Shen's formal educational background is in aerospace engineering and physics, and he is proficient in English and Chinese.
I must have written that a little while back. I don't even remember writing all this.
That's great. I mean, what wonderful information. So you're both very young men. I mean, young to us, the silver hairs in the room. Tell us why and how you ended up here today. What took you into alternative energy and solar, Vic?
Sure. Well, I guess we have some time to talk about this. But, you know, ever since I was little, I was always interested in, in doing my part for the environment. I grew up in 4 different countries, and I've moved around quite a bit in my life. So I understood my part and how...
From your parents or...
From my parents and for school. I ended up moving a lot. So, you know, doing my part for the environment and understanding that there is no... you know, out of sight, out of mind kind of mentality that unfortunately, a lot of kids grow up with today. So I had that growing up. And then I was also very interested and very motivated by big challenges. I wasn't so one of the big challenges that I had growing up was, you know, what can we do about, you know, how can we change our lifestyle to improve the environment? And that was always something at the top of my mind, you know, in whatever class I took, whatever, you know, job I took. And, lo and behold, a few years ago, I kind of came across solar, and I thought, you know, we have all these challenges today about, you know, investing in our future, investing in, you know, the right technologies, energy resilience. And I'm sure these are things your viewers have heard a lot on the show. So I thought, you know, solar kind of checks off a lot of those boxes. And that's actually one of the things we're going to talk about today is how people who are interested in getting involved in the industry can get involved, because there are not too many avenues out there. If you want to be an electrical engineer, you can go through school and learn about that. But, you know, if you want to get into solar, you can't just major in solar engineering or do that kind of stuff. So it's tough for people to say, I want to, you know, get involved, and, hey, you don't have any credentials. But, yeah, so I was able to get involved in some conferences, and I was given an opportunity to... as my long winding biography said, get involved and really see the potential. As Jigar Shah, one of the kind of pioneers of the solar industry, says, there's a big opportunity for wealth creation in the solar energy industry today. So that's what's keeping me going. I'm sure Shen will agree that that's, you know, what's keeping us going on a day-to-day basis.
Shen, we want to hear from you. We're going to take a quick break, go to Shannon, find out what's happening with our traffic and weather, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Why, thank you, Pat. All right, now let's look at our roads. On 59 East Tex Freeway outbound at Greens Road, a multiple vehicle accident is affecting three center lanes and a left lane, and backing up traffic to Greens Bayou. And on the West Loop southbound before Post Oak, a heavy truck is stalled in the right shoulder in that area. And a few other things to report on the 12,000 block of Bel Air Boulevard, there's a major accident reported, as well as on the 5700 block of Wood and Martin Luther King Boulevard, there's a major accident at that intersection. And now let's look at our weather. Mixture of clouds and sunshine in the forecast for today. 10% chance of rain and a high around 100 degrees. Mainly clear skies tonight. Low of 78 degrees. And tomorrow, expect a mixture of clouds and sunshine and a high around 102. It is currently 99 degrees and partly cloudy skies. It feels like 103 out there. Here in the heart of Montrose. Back to you, Pat, and HC in the studio.
Thank you, Shannon. We appreciate the update. It is warm out there.
Harris County Flood Control sent out a little note this morning that said while the spring was one of the wettest times on record in Houston, the month of July, with our current rainfall of 0.44 inches, is the second driest we've ever had.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
That's just... Well, here we are. If you don't like the weather, stick around.
Hang around, yep. It will change very quickly. So we are visiting today on Ecology with two young men from Simplify Solar. We've got Vic and Shen joining us today. And we're talking about alternatives. Before the break, we heard from Vic and just what got him involved in solar energy. So, Shen, you're up next. Talk to us.
Okay. All right. My story is not quite as straightforward as Vic's, I gotta say. Well, when I was younger, I read a lot of books. Some of them are space, hence why I went in aerospace, and others were environmental books. In terms of my science reading, that's what I found myself mostly engaged in. And from the environmental perspective, I was really interested in, you know, doing water conservation and energy and the, you know, wildlife, saving endangered species and all that. I read a lot, but I didn't really do much. I tried to get my parents to do something. They didn't.
They weren't involved.
Yeah, like I put up a recycling bin in the house. They just threw it as trash in there. So I was like, okay. So eventually
It's a learning curve.
Yeah, I don't think I still convinced them. So at a certain point, my interest in that kind of waned. But in terms of the aerospace side of things, I found myself doing a lot of, maybe not a lot, but I found myself doing, like, power and energy for, say, space station or spacecrafts, like, in terms of design. And I was always drawn to that, and I was thinking, this is interesting. I mean, like, energy clearly is an issue up there, and it's an even bigger issue down here because, you know, the fossil fuels are eventually going to run out. And in terms of the only viable energy source would be renewable energy. And since I have a previous experience in space, like, what's the only energy that's in space that you could really use? Well, it would be the sun. And same as on Earth, right? It would be the sun. Since the sun's going to be there around for another at least 5 billion years, and hopefully by that point we're somewhere else. So about last year, I was looking around for something more interesting to do, and I I ended up talking to this aerospace guy, and he was up in Canada, and he, for some reason, he started a solar company. So I offered to write a blog for him, which I did for about 2 months, and then I also offered to go to a bunch of conferences and workshops. Just coincidentally, the Houston Renewable Energy Group, as was kindly mentioned before, in October, they held a whole bunch of, that entire month was dedicated solar. So they held a lot of workshops at IKEA, which I attended about at least 2 a week. And in one of them, I actually met Vic and the founder of Simplify Solar, Roy, and they gave this excellent presentation, which drew my interest. And then the very next day, I called them and said, I think you have a fantastic product and you know, potentially a really good service, and I would like to know more. So after talking to me a few times, you know, I jumped on the team. And so it's, you know, ever since then, I've been working on it.
Come back and tell us why IKEA does so much in the solar meetings.
IKEA... Well, it's not just IKEA these days. There's, I read recently that the top corporations in the world, all of them are implementing solar. Maybe not all of them. A significant portion of them are implementing solar in their infrastructure, in their buildings. But IKEA definitely has taken a lead there. The one in Houston, for instance, if you get the chance, you can go up there. You need to get permission first. But they have solar panels all over the top of the building, and I think it generates at least a third to a half of their energy. Now, in terms of why they're doing that, I believe it's because the founder of IKEA, he's very interested in sustainability, and it matches with you know, the whole concept of IKEA.
And it makes a lot of sense. If you got a big building with a whole lot of space on top, you might as well put some solar panels up there,
mm-hmm.
particularly mm-hmm. in Houston, Texas, at 105 degrees.
Well, I know you mentioned a little bit about how it's really dry here. Texas is actually the state that has the most solar potential. In other words, in the future when people put up more solar
panels. Why is that?
Well, one thing, it gets a lot of sun. Second part, well, that's fairly obvious. The second part is there's a lot of roofs, you know, there's a lot of people. And there's plenty of spaces where people can put up solar. So more people put up solar, Texas is going to be number one in terms of the amount of solar energy produced compared to every other state.
And you're working on that. Your company's working on that, helping people do that.
Correct. Uh-huh.
Real quick, before we get off this aerospace kick, though.
Can we ever get off it?
I went to your webpage, I believe.
Which is
Or your Facebook page, and there is a photo of a solar plane.
Yes. That I have nothing to do with that, regretfully.
You're not flying it, but...
No. But it's a company called Solar Impulse. Have you heard of them?
I haven't.
I have now.
Okay. Well, I believe the guy... Okay, I may be wrong. I think he's either Swiss or French. I don't remember. But anyways, he formed this company. He got together some of the brightest engineers in the world. And he himself is a pilot as well. So what they did was they built a plane powered by solar, which is with a very, you know, dramatic goal of going around the Earth. All in solar power, not like without stops. That'd be pretty tough. I mean, they've stopped. So I forget what city they're in right now, but
I think they're stuck in Hawaii.
They're in Hawaii right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but they've been basically hopping around the world, taking flights just using solar energy.
I bring that up because I'm an older person, And the changes in what you all are talking about during my generation are just, I mean, they're impossible to have realized back then.
Exactly.
And now you guys are talking about, well, they're just hopping around the world on a solar panel. It was a toy when we were growing up.
Right. I mean, this can actually fit people. So, which is what I mean. Solar powered remote aircraft, you know, airplanes have been around for a while, but to build one on this scale, I think the huge reason, which is that solar is much more prevalent these days, is due to number one, greater efficiency; number two, lower cost. So previously, if you go back, say, 20 years, this is not feasible because it would just cost way too much.
So how does Simplify Solar fit into this? How does the company Simplify Solar fit into this?
Sure. So I guess let's to describe the industry first. We kind of like to think of it as the way the automobile industry was before Henry Ford kind of revolutionized and made it available to the masses, right? You know, everything was, you know, you needed to find someone to build a car for you. You needed to source materials, and one person finished the job from, you know, from beginning to end. So for solar to be available to the masses, it needs to be an easy way for customers to understand exactly whether it's right for them, and two, how can we get the best products, you know, get best services directly on one platform. So one of the co-founders, Roy, he's been in Houston for a while now, and he has a company here called SolarCiz, which provides products directly to homeowners who want to install it themselves, or to installers who would, you know, just take that product and go out and do their installations. So he had an idea a few years ago saying, you know, he thought, why can't I sell this directly to the homeowners, and why can't I create, you know, there has to be some way that the homeowner can understand exactly what, you know, whether solar can work for me. So he got together with the other co-founder who has the software development team, and put, you know, those two together, and then we came up with this platform where customers can go online and basically be, a single point of resource for everything that a homeowner would need to do to put solar on his house.
And for them to be able to install it themselves?
No.
Have an engineer come in and...
Right. So what we would do is have a network of installers already pre-qualified, you know, pre-vetted, and we would have that network bid for, or compete for certain projects. So I would go out, you know, so the process it would work is the customer would go on to the website, you know, and say, hey, this is my address, and then he'd be prompted to take a few pictures of his house, and then... local installers would take a look at that. We would design the system, and they would say, okay, you know, this is how much I would, bid for this project. And then you'd be able to see the reviews, kind of just like buying something on Amazon. So it's not one click yet where you can buy something very quickly on Amazon, but in a very straightforward way, which has not been done yet. These things are called soft costs, which are really helping lower the cost of solar for everyone.
And I will briefly interrupt here, since I know you're not
Shen.
Done.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I think my voice is different enough from
it
this.
It is.
All right, good. Just making sure.
Soft costs, yeah.
Yeah, so about soft costs, I think I should explain that. So in terms of solar, there are hard costs and then there are soft costs. So hard costs are basically the solar panels, the equipment. And those costs have gone down significantly due to primarily mass manufacturing, especially in China. So the panel prices have been dropping every year, almost exponentially. So, however, the soft costs, which is everything else that's not the hard costs. So in terms of, say, customer acquisition, actually going out, doing site survey, you know, all the time and labor, and all the other components that come together, the whole business process as well, that is actually taking a significant amount of the total cost for a homeowner or anybody who wants to go solar. So what we've been doing here with creating this web platform and this entire simplified process is to reduce the soft costs. And that is precisely what not only private companies, but also the Department of Energy is interested in. In fact, we're one of the few recipients of what's known as the Sunshot Catalyst Program, which is one of the programs that the Department of Energy has to fund startups who is, with one of the goals, is cutting down soft costs. So.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the ways that countries like Germany and Italy, these countries that have embraced solar, solar makes up a bigger percentage of their electricity production than the U.S. does, their soft costs are much lower than what we have here. So that's one of the ways that it's been more economically feasible for them to, integrate solar into their
grid. Now, why are Germany's soft costs lower than ours? Let's review that when we come back.
When we come back from our break, let's talk about that. And it is interesting that other countries are so far ahead of us with that. So stay with us. We're going to take a break, go to Shannon. We'll have a little music right after that, and we'll be back. This is Ecology on your radio station, KPFT 90.1 FM.
Why, thank you, Pat. Okay, roadways are rather clear at this time on 59 East Tex Freeway outbound at Greens Road. An accident involving four vehicles is still affecting three center lanes and left lane, and that's backing up traffic to Greens Bayou. Slow going on the West Loop in both directions from Forness to I-10 Katy Freeway. And on the West Sam Houston Tollway southbound at 290 Northwest Freeway, there's a stalled vehicle that's affecting a right shoulder and exit ramp, but really not bad traffic at this moment, thank goodness. All right, let's look at our forecast. Mixture of clouds and sunshine in the forecast for today. 10% chance of rain, high around 100, and mainly clear skies tonight. Low of 78 degrees. Tomorrow, expect a mixture of clouds and sunshine and a high around 102. Currently, it is 100 degrees out there in clear skies here in the heart of Montrose, and it feels like 104, but it's teetering around 105 also in the feels like temperatures. Back to you, Pat, after this commercial break. Well, not commercial break, music break.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, I say. It's all right. Little darling,
Thank you. I guess that was a little cliche, Here Comes the Sun, but it's just so fun. I mean, Abbey Road, I mean, how great. It was like before your time. And yeah. It just makes me smile. It's still in our hearts. Yes, it is.
We're still over here remembering the little toy solar panels we had.
Yes.
You could send off for a little square that would be about just about 1 inch square.
Mm-hmm. I didn't do that.
And you could, it'd make a little light go on.
Did you have one of those?
It was a very long time ago, yes.
Thank you so much for being with us today. This is Ecology, and we are visiting with two delightful young men from Simplify Solar. We're visiting with Vic and Shen, and we're talking about alternative energy, solar being at the top of that list right now because it's what you're involved in and has, I believe, our greatest potential. So, before the break,
one question I had was the Houston Renewable Energy Group is an amalgamation of folks around town who are interested in solar energy, and the class is part of what they're doing. But they also have a virtual tour, and you can go to their website and just kind of pick up the brochure from previous tours and go around and look at people's roofs and see what solar installations look like. They're very simple, and you guys have come along at just the right time because so many changes have been made to make putting solar panels on your home, one or two to start with, then some more, a pretty straightforward process. The Homeowners Association can no longer keep you from putting them on the front of your house.
That's correct.
Lots of neat things. Mm-hmm. Tell us some more.
About the Houston Renewable Energy Group, I'm sorry?
No, just the whole idea of everybody's house could be a contributor to to the grid.
So I would say before solar panels, as you know, you have to pay the utility companies, which normally it's from some factory, coal factory or something else, which is miles away, and then it's delivered to you by the power lines. However, with what's known as distributed energy, literally, as the name suggests, it's more spread out. So every home could have solar panels on the roof or the backyard, and hence you have a little miniature power plant right at your home. And this is what we do, and this is going to be the future of energy for just about everyone. This doesn't mean that it's going to cut out, the grid system, because currently solar panels is more of can cut down your utility bills since you generate some on your own, but it hasn't reached a stage where you could just completely eliminate, buying electricity from your utility company. In the future, what we see, and also, of course, at night, you need some other means. Right now, in the future, that may change as solar panels grow more efficient and even more affordable. Perhaps, I don't know. But what is definitely going to happen, and this question we get a lot, is people ask about batteries. Can I just get batteries and power my system at night? Power my home. And right now, what we say to them about that is batteries are still pretty expensive, so it's a good idea just to not get them because your payback time will significantly increase. But if you wait, say, 3 to 5 years, when the technology developments in batteries reach the stage where it makes perfect sense to get them, then yeah, you would generate power during the day, and then once, if you're not using enough, store it up as energy in the batteries, and then at night you could use some of that. So that would even cut it down even further.
So right now you would recommend tying right into the grid somehow?
Every project that we have worked on and are planning to work on doesn't have batteries. Even if you do have batteries, it will still be grid tied, because unless you get a massive amount, you're not going to be able to store enough energy where you're never going to have to use the grid.
Before the break, we spoke about Germany and Italy and the systems that they already have in place. The United States is catching up with that, is learning from this. Where do we stand in relation?
Sure. And I think one of the things we talked about off the air was that this is such a new industry that so many things, the technology, the processes, and especially the policies are still being, or the right policies for, the right region are still being developed. So some of the things that might work well in Germany might not necessarily work well here. So that's something to keep in mind. But so there's this incentive program that Germany has that have been using called the feed-in tariff, which is different than what most American states here. They use what's called net metering, and that's something that Texas still has not signed on to do. I think it was one of only five or six states that has decided not to do it. Basically, what it means is that the power that you produce with solar will be credited 1-to-1 on your billing cycle. So, in some states, you're buying power from the grid at full retail price, and you're selling back whatever your solar is producing at wholesale costs. So you're not getting that equal value with that solar production. So that's something we're pushing for that Texas should implement. There are some, retail energy providers that, do provide you some buyback, for solar, but it's not, it's just not where it should be. So back to that question, Germany has been great. They are the leaders in implementing solar. And, quite honestly, they're the guinea pig, right? A lot of the things that are happening with their big utility companies and how, the solar that's being produced by independent producers or prosumers are not helping them with their established business model. So what's going on with them could very well impact what CenterPoint does 5, 10, 12, 15 years down the line. So that's something to keep in mind. So we being in the industry, we're always, looking at what's happening in these markets to understand how we can better position ourselves.
We have a phone call from someone that's interested. Give us Shannon, type this person in for us. Ooh. Hi there.
Pat.
Yes.
And I'd say, hey, I was just curious to know whether y'all had heard of Nate Lewis out at Caltech. He's a retired professor emeritus, and he's done a lot of research on all the different forms of energy, and of course solar comes up top. But they had developed a house paint. It's still, they're still working out some of the bugs, but basically where you could go down and get yourself multiple gallons of paint painted on the exterior of your home, and it's a crystalline that's made of TiO2, which is a really abundant mineral, easily mined and found really just all over the place. It's the stuff that makes toothpaste white. Anyway, that becomes a conductor. It makes your whole house a solar kind of conductor, and anybody can paint it on, and then you just hire an electrician to come up and wire it up. So I saw a demonstration of it on, I think, if you don't mind me saying so, dhlovelife.com, but there's a video of it. So,
well, thank you so much for that. Gentlemen,
yeah,
can you address it?
Nate Lewis, he's probably the premier or preeminent scientist that's done all of his homework. Really good information from him.
Thank you very much. We appreciate the call.
All right, bye.
So, gentlemen, can you address that?
Frankly, I will admit my own ignorance here. I really haven't heard of this research.
Well, that's fun, something to look into.
Mm-hmm. I do pay attention to the new developments in solar, new materials for solar cells, though. Primarily right now we're still using silicon since they're abundant. They're used on your LCD screens, your computers, so, multiple other purposes, and they're everywhere. So that's why most solar panels, solar cells, which make up the panels, are still made of silicon. And it's either monocrystalline or polycrystalline. Same materials, just different processing methods. Of course, there's other materials that's been looked into. For instance, there's thin film, which is literally really like paper thin film of solar panels, and you can put that on your windows or wherever it is, and those are less efficient, but that's growing in efficiency. And in the future, I would imagine that would be, say, the third generation. So right now we're the second generation of solar cells with a monocrystalline and a polycrystalline. And then there's a lot of research, as our caller just pointed out. His example is, I would think, one of the new developments. Mm-hmm. Like I said, there's a lot of other developments as well.
That's wonderful.
So, and then there's recently I read about some university on the East Coast, which I think was, I forget the chemical name, but it's supposed to be even more efficient, like 40% or something ridiculous. So
technology is just advancing.
Yeah. So I should probably mention the efficiency of the typical solar panel right now is between 14 to like 18%. So in other words, for the amount of light energy which hits the panels, that's how much is converted into electric energy. So it doesn't sound like a lot, but it's significantly better than, say, 10 years ago.
Sure.
Well, and philosophically, coal is not all that efficient. You're boiling water to make electricity, and so sustainability issues come in.
Definitely. We're going to take a quick break, go to Shannon, find out one more time what's happening in our Houston. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Ecology.
Why, thank you, Pat. Okay, really not many developments around going on. It's pretty surprising at this moment because I am used to it being a mess out there. But luckily, there's only those major tie-ups that we are accustomed to on the West Loop between the Southwest Freeway and I-10 Katy Freeway. And that's in both directions, slowing down traffic. And on the Southwest Freeway 59 coming in from around, let me see, this area, this time. It's coming close to Hazard and going in to the 288. Those areas still have traffic, as well as that accident earlier today on the 59 East Tex Freeway outbound at Greens Road. There's still that accident involving four vehicles affecting three center lanes in a left lane and still backing up traffic to Greens Bayou. And not much else to report at this time, besides it is hot, hot, hot out there, 100.6 degrees currently, and partly cloudy skies. It feels like 105 out there. Only 10% chance of rain, so we're mainly clear throughout today, and tonight's low should be 78, and expect it to be 102 tomorrow in partly cloudy skies. Back to you, Pat, in the studio.
Thank you, Shannon. So I have a question. My question is, if we decided to put solar panels on our house, what provider would we go with? Who would you recommend? But walk us through a system. I think I want to put solar panels on my house. Shin.
Okay. So, just to clarify, your question is, what do you need to do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the traditional process, I'll just say that, is you will need to look around and call different solar installers, and then they will come to your home. They will first of all ask you a bunch of questions. Then they will go to your home, do what's known as a site survey. In other words, they look at your roof, they look where your meter is, look where your box is, they go up into your attic, and they take a bunch of photos and measure a few things. And then they provide you a price and tell you when they could do it. For us, we make our processes quite different in that we simplify it. So from the very beginning, you could go to our website, which is www.simplifysolar.com, and you can input your address and you can input how much your utility bills are and how much you want to save, and how much you're paying per kilowatt hour. And from there, based on your energy usage, how much energy you want to save, we can output, you need, 3-kilowatt system or 6-kilowatt, or we go all the way up to 10 kilowatts, since most homes, they can't fit more than 10 kilowatts on their roof. So That's just how much ideally you want to save, though. So once you register, what we do is we can order pictures of your roof. So we get your roof design. And, okay, so all places north of the equator, you want to put panels only on your south side or the west side. And that's because if you put it on the north or east, you're not going to get enough direct sunlight, so you're just going to be wasting money. Mm-hmm. So we take a look at the south roof and the southwest and the west roof to see how many panels we can put on there. As well as in terms of doing the site survey, we let you take your own photos. We have you can use your phone or you can use a camera and then upload it on your computer. So we tell you, oh, you need to take these photos here and these here, and you just upload it. And then we look at that, we combine it with the roof that design that we bought, and then we design the prelim design for you, which then you can clearly see where the panels are going to be on your roof and how many panels you need. So for instance, for a 1 kilowatt system, you would need 4 panels, since each panel is typically 250 watts. That's a standard wattage right now. So once you look at that, you say, all right, this works well with me. We go ahead and we do a more detailed structural design to make sure that your roof can support it and the wind doesn't blow it away, as well as electrical design showing how the whole thing is hooked up. Now, these two designs are for our installer partners to look at, since they're unnecessary for you unless you really want to understand it. So our installers, based on these designs, they have done, you know, hundreds of installs, so they understand how much effort it's going to take. So they would provide a quote, and this there's going to be different quotes, and you as a homeowner, you would be able to see the different quotes, and you choose one of them. So in other words, you choose installer. And from there, you know, we have the total price down. So you have the installation part as well as the hardware part. Oh, I forgot to mention, we also provide the hardware, like in terms of solar panels, rails, inverters, all of that. So with that, you just go ahead, and if you need to find some kind of financing, we can help you connect with different banks or other financial institutions, you know, to get a loan. And once we figure that part out, the payment and the contract, then, you know, just set up a date with installation, and then you just get it up there. It only takes a day for the actual installation to go up.
So is it costly to, like, okay, just use our station here. If we wanted to put solar panels here on the roof mm-hmm. of KPFT to power some of the things that we have going here, we have to decide how many kilowatts we want, mm-hmm. what kind of system, and then go from there. Is there, I don't even know what costly would be. I mean, are there government incentives to these types of things?
There are. Thankfully, there are. There's a 30% tax credit that will be expiring at the end of next year. So we're telling folks that we're meeting with on a daily basis, hey, you know, you have basically until this time next year to, you know, to really make the effort to get solar on your house. It's, by the way, to clarify, it's you need to have the system installed and working by December 31st next year.
Of 2016.
So, correct, mm-hmm. correct. So so thankfully there's that, but there's nothing Houston-wide that's available. That's what's really holding back the industry here. And I forgot your question.
Is it something that an average person can go and do? You're simplifying the system, but is it mm-hmm. something that, you know, it costs me $400 a month on my electricity bill right now. Mm-hmm. Is that something that is going to have a reasonable payout for me?
Sure. It, this kind of a question, we get this a lot. it's only applied, you know, the idea of a payback period. Mm-hmm. You know, how soon can I recoup my investment? That's unfortunately not something that too many other things that people buy, mm-hmm. They have that framework. Hey, if you're buying a car, or if you're buying a mm-hmm. washing machine, when am I going to, you know, if I buy the Energy Star of this, when am I going to get that back? But right now, it's anywhere between, you know, 7 to 15 years, you know, throughout the industry. Some states, and actually in some areas, Austin, for example, you can pay back your system within 4 years. Because of a local incentive that Austin Energy offers, right? And in other states where, for example, Texas, where people are paying, you know, 6-7 cents a kilowatt hour, it gets much tougher to pay back that investment because you're already paying low rates to begin with. If you're paying high rates, for example, in California or Hawaii, then you're able to repay that investment very quickly.
That makes sense. Okay, I understand.
And I think still, so many of us are at the learning stage, and that's right. A large part of what you all do.
Is very much so.
You learn, you provide ways for us to learn about them. So what Pat just asked, you could address
and then
do it or not.
Ultimately affects just the triple bottom line, too. I mean, this really, it's not just about how much money is this going to save me. It's truly what is this doing for all of us, you know, in our world and in our lifetime.
Exactly right.
Right. So, I was going to add on to that despite Vic emphasizing the 30% federal tax credit ending next year, due to the lowering of the cost in general and what we're trying to do in other companies in terms of reducing soft costs, in the future, the solar is not going to be dependent on, you know, federal support. So... I mean, there people seem to have this perspective that, oh, solar is only working because there's incentives, and once those are gone, nobody wants to go solar. Well, what we're saying is that that's the whole point. We're doing Simplify Solar so that despite whether or not there's incentives, it still makes sense to go solar.
It still makes sense to go solar. Vic Vasam Shinji, thank you so much for joining us today. Simplify Solar, simplifysolar.com.
That's right. And you can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/simplifysolar, as well as Twitter at Simplify Solar. So it's the same word all around.
We appreciate you being here so much. So much to learn, so many things that we can be involved in.
Thank you so much.
So, we thank you. We thank you, our listeners, for joining us today on Ecology. Stay tuned. The news is up next, and we'll be back next week with the Summer Sizzle.
KPFT Community Advisory Board is requesting your participation in a listener survey. The KPFT Community Advisory Board, also known as the CAB, is a vehicle for effective community input to the station's governing body about station programming, community service, and impact on the community from the station's major policy decisions. Community Advisory Boards assist stations in developing programs and policies that address the specific needs of the communities they endeavor to serve. KPFT listeners are welcomed and encouraged to participate in the completion of this survey. Please visit the KPFT website at www.kpft.org and complete the Community Needs Survey. Thank you for your help, and thanks for listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
One in nine Americans listens to a local public radio station on a regular basis. Many use stations like KPFT to make voting decisions, music choices, their own conclusions about the world, or where to go over the weekend. That's because less than 0.5% of programming on commercial stations goes to local public affairs. Why not consider supporting KPFT as a major donor? Whether as an individual or an organization, major donors help KPFT in many ways. Major donors help big station projects and ensure KPFT gets the money it needs to survive without all those pledges. Drives. Just call our development director at 713-526-4000 to become a major donor today. Your donation of $5,000 or more helps keep independent arts, music, news, and views alive and kicking on the Gulf Coast. Become a KPFT major donor today. Call our development director at 713-526-4000.